Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast that features myself, Paul Machin, and the man sat opposite me, Mr. Chris Pajak.
Hello, everybody.
Talking about Liverpool news and Liverpool events, and this week, unfortunately, a defeat and then leading into the FA Cup. We'll get on to all of that in due course. Some interesting stuff in the news, which we will cover. But first, we've got a kickoff question that comes from Wavy Bone, who's at Sour Life on Twitter. Chris, if you were a manager, would you go trackies, full suit, and is the most interesting potential of this, or something else?
I'd never really considered this question.
What the something else might be?
Well, you know, when you think of being a manager, you do think, well, you know, it's trackies or full suit, isn't it? You know, I'm not going to go in dungarees, for example.
That would be amazing. Imagine if Jürgen rocked up in just a pair of dungarees, a pair of Doc Marten boots, and nothing else.
That's it. That's pretty much what my brother went to a stag doing.
Amazing.
Oh, and my dad is hair blonde on the way there as well. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I think I'd be a full suitor. I think trackies during the week, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd like to consider myself cool enough to go and do what the Hoffenheim manager did. I forget his name. And I think he was like jeans and white chainies and a blazer, wasn't he, or something like that. You know what I mean? And that, but I'm not cool enough. So I'd go full.
Not like
full
a full Luis Enrique double denim debacle.
Do you know what? I'd like to give the fans something back, Paul. Right. A bit like Rafa Benitez, and, you know, turn up for those pre-season games in trackies and just watch the fans buzz off you.
I love that notion. What Rafa did with that was, you're right, like the master of professionalism took his job very and his life very, very seriously. But yeah, his demeanour for those games told
you. In pre-season
games. Well, he's just saying to you, listen, I don't give a fuck about this, and you shouldn't either. I'm going to rock up in just my trainees and my ethylostan trainees and sweatpants. Yeah, you never look right. I always thought I would be a suit manager, but I think I'd wear a suit for cup finals. I think I'd be a trackie manager.
Why?
Or because just to show how, just to like, I'll give you an example. It doesn't quite follow, but I remember like Rafa's first season in charge, and he basically sat down for the whole season, and we got to Chelsea in the Champions League semi-final. He was up for that game. He was stood up, and he'd done the press conference about, like, you know, we can beat them, we can go through. And then he was stood up, and he was orchestrating everything from the touchline, and it made you realise how again, the flip side of the pre-season thing, how important it was. I like that notion of, like, no, it's like an FA Cup final. I'm getting me shooting tired because I believe that cup finals are due the bit of pomp and circumstance. Or I'd have it out to go to points, and I'd do, I think what I did on my 3-year plan video, where you'd rip it open. You'd walk out to the pitch, and as the whistle's about to blow, you rip it off, and there's your tracksuit, and you're ready to dive into the fray.
I like that. I'll just go boring, full suit it. Would you cap it, Paul, if you're a tacky man?
Absolutely not. I don't do caps.
Why?
Because I've got boss hair. Okay. Not at the moment. It's a bit windswept. I've never seen the point of caps. I mean, I understand some people have things to cover up, and other people, I don't get a cold head.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not as much of an issue.
Okay, it's fine.
Yeah. Chris is a cap man.
No, not really a hat man in general.
you haven't not worn a hat to a football match in 2 months.
Yeah, I get cold head. But generally speaking, I'm not a hat man. Like, I'm not a cap man, certainly.
Yeah.
I've got too fat a face for that.
Yeah. No, I don't think I'm that. I would love to shoot caps, and I would love to have the need for them, but all it just does is make you give you a hat head, and who needs that? And then you're committing to wearing a cap all day inside. I'm not a redneck. I don't need it. It's not for me. Okay. News in brief. Some bits and pieces of transfer news. I say news. Duncan Castles, Chris, journalistic bell end, has come out and said that Liverpool are on Yahoo.
Yeah.
Because see, things are going well for him. On Yahoo said that Liverpool are in for Luan.
We've had this before, I think, and maybe on a podcast. What do they do when they web search?
They use an internet service search provider. Yeah, we've
do
had
they,
it.
I know. We've had this. Haven't
so
we?
Does it? So randomly enough, I was speaking to someone in a pub years ago. Who was employed by Yahoo, and I did ask him that question. And basically, they had to say that they have to.
They have to Yahoo it.
You know how like the French don't like adopting new words.
Yeah.
Like the hardline French people don't like adopting words. So that's why you end up with like magnetoscope for cassette player and stuff like that. They end up having these really round the houses ways of describing things, and that it's that kind of situation. They obviously can't say Google when they are they've got a search engine, so they have to say using internet. I'll have to perform an internet search there. Good on you, Yahoo employees. But no, he said Luan is in Liverpool, are interested in Luan. Now, we've seen these links for at least 12 months. I think it's Ian Doyle and The Echo since come out and said Liverpool, whether they've spoken to Liverpool or whatever, and Liverpool are categorically not in for them and not interested in him, which is a little bit of a shame. I like the look of him. I've got no problem with bringing another Brazilian in if he's good or whatever. But one little thing at the bottom end of this article is he basically says in a total throwaway line, Liverpool have got a deal agreed with Lamar, but they haven't got a deal agreed with Monaco.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It seems to be the way that Liverpool are doing a lot of work.
Football?
Yeah.
In general?
Nobody else has picked it up yet. Nobody else has ran with that. It's been a few hours as well since that one broke and stuff, so I'd be very surprised if that was actually the case. It's still rumours everywhere else, and they're all still citing back to that, so there's no... And here's the thing, 6 hours is a long time in journalism.
Yeah.
People will make the connection and go and ask people.
Yeah.
You know, they'll start speaking to Lamar's agents and they'll find these out, and they'll start speaking to Monaco and stuff. So I'd imagine if there was something in that, that would have broken properly by now.
I agree. There's nothing to break per se, is there? I think it's similar to exactly what you're saying there. It's like Daniel Sturridge has apparently got an agreement. He's agreed with a host of clubs, probably Sevilla and Inter Milan, in terms of they've said, here's the deal. What you imagine what's happening, and it's just been made public a lot more this season, is exactly what we know. Agents are talking to clubs, and clubs are going, if we can get a deal agreed, what does your guy want? He wants 75 grand a week, and he wants X amount of this and X amount of that, and they go,
sounds
okay, yeah, cool. Let's get the deal.
It's interesting actually, because the Chan stuff's come out today or yesterday as well, wasn't it? About the Juventus chairman, I think it is, has come out and spoken about this. And
this is last week, I think it was.
And he's basically said, we haven't got an agreement in place. We'll find it very difficult. We've not even 100% committed to him as a player. He's someone that we really like, but we've not made any offers or anything. So, and that's been going on for a long time as well, and that hasn't moved on any. And, you know, he's open to negotiate. As of January the 1st, he was open to negotiate, and they still haven't put that in. So you can imagine if the Chan stuff, probably a lot easier to get over the line, hasn't been done.
Mm.
Getting a deal with Monaco sorted is going to be even more difficult because, you know, his contract's not running out.
Yeah, absolutely. Lazar Markovic is wanted by Spartak Moscow, according to The Echo, and Aston Villa, according to Football Whispers.
Strange on this.
In what way? That anyone wants him?
Yeah.
Poor old Lazar Markovic. Because it's not like he's been training with the kids. He trains with the first team.
Yeah.
Every single week, every single day. He's there. He's in all the same gear as everyone else. But he's just persona non grata at Melwood. It's crazy. And look, if he's not good enough, he's not good enough. Fine, but... I don't even know what we said this on the other week. This is a lad who's won titles in teams. He's been an important part of sides. Not saying top end of the Premier League level sides, but there must be a combination of attitude and maybe and probably wage demands, and then a little bit of Liverpool just saying, "Well, listen, you know,
you want to recoup as much as possible." Exactly. Yeah, and you know, Lazar Markovic might still believe in himself when nobody else does, you know, and he might think that he deserves a move to a good, big club. And, you know, the smaller clubs out there, like, you know, lower level clubs might be like looking at it and going, well, we've got no chance.
Yeah. I would, it sparked my thinking that I would very much be having a little poke around Quincy Promes again if they're taking a winger off our hands. I don't say that it was something that necessarily would happen, but it's interesting that I read an Aston Villa fan, I guess it's like an Aston Villa fan blog reacting to the rumour of him going to Aston Villa and them saying
that is some thorough research, friend.
Well, it came up on Google, okay, about the third or fourth highest thing, so it was a degree.
Not many people talking about Markovic to Villa then.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like, to be fair, like, the source didn't come up before the reaction to it kind of thing, and they were saying like he would be a better fit for what they do. I think it's Anoma is going to be gone. They've got on a load at the moment. It's not working out. But anyway, they're saying it doesn't seem likely because Klopp and Liverpool still rate him, so they'd only want it to be a loan deal. The guy's got 18 months left on his contract. I can't help but feel that they will take anything unless this is like, this is the next level. This is how deep down Liverpool are getting into training, in that we basically trained Alberto Moreno up for a year. Markovic needs that much work that he's just gone deep under for 2 years.
2021 is going to be his year. 2021, yeah. Mark my words, yeah. The year of Lazar Markovic.
Yeah, God, he'll still only be about 26 by that point as well. Arsene Wenger has had a little bit of a dig at how the press basically have a lot more love for the likes of Liverpool than Arsenal. Now, it's being spun as this. I didn't see any direct references, so it's being, I think people are reading between the lines on this, but fine. I just done a video of this on Mates TV YouTube channel talking about the Wenger side of things rather than any perceived dig at Liverpool. But he talked about how there's clubs that haven't been in a final for 25 years who get more love than his side, who've won 3 FA Cups in 4 years. And he basically goes on to say about turning the mood of the fans. You can't turn the mood of the fans because the mood of the fans is basically being dictated by the press. The press are responsible.
Got that the wrong way around then, hasn't he?
100%.
I mean, let's be honest, the fan reactions to Arsenal is out before the press nowadays. And these lads who come out of the stadium and talk, just like we do outside our grounds, aren't reading any articles before they go and speak to Arsenal Fan TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not the press, it's the flip reverse, and the lads in the stadium are getting their views from what they see on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what they see happen or not happen at boardroom level of that club.
I saw someone in the comments saying that, though, he's just exaggerating. He's talking about Liverpool, he's just over-exaggerating. Just to clarify, Liverpool were in 2 finals 2 seasons ago. I mean, look, we didn't win them, granted, so it's not like I'm going, in your face, Arsene, finals. I could only surmise, Chris, that he was talking about Everton, and I thought that was classless.
Yeah.
So Porto are charging Liverpool fans £66.50 for away tickets.
1995, Paul. It's not 25 years ago.
It might as well be. Home fans are getting.
Tam may have been in a final since then. Haven't they? Am I right in saying?
Everton have been in a final since then. As have well, they? Yeah, they got the FA Cup final. And 2011
oh, Chelsea or,
10. Or
something, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah.
They went 1-0 up, didn't he? Because Jermaine Beckford scored.
Oh, Steve was there, he bumped in.
No, he did.
No, he never.
That would be an illegal thing to do. He came back very, 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 very sunburnt that day. Porto are charging Liverpool fans £66.50, £75, I think that is, euros for away tickets. So home fans are getting them for 22. Bit of a piss take.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that they give me 3 tickets for that. You know, it's triple the price. I want space. I want, you know, an armrest.
I want some leg room, if nothing else. Which who knows? Maybe Porto Stadium will provide me with leg room.
Am I right in saying Porto got safe standing?
You know what, Chris? That's the kind of thing that you maybe could have just taken a second to Google rather than throwing me under the bus with the question. Honest answer is I don't know. It would be lovely for you to experience that, I'm sure. If we get tickets, if anyone... everyone can cross fingers and toes that we get tickets. That would be absolutely amazing. I suspect that our respective significant others will be asking, praying, nay, that everyone uncrosses them.
Doesn't look like Porto have safe standing.
Okay, cool, man. Whatever. Well, people will be stood up anyway. I wouldn't worry about it. It's a bit of a piss take. I mean, it continues to happen. I think it's getting better on a domestic front in terms of limiting the prices for away tickets and what have you. But
you've seen how difficult it is for the likes of Spirit of Shankly and the Tottenham groups and the Arsenal groups to get something organised in one country. You can imagine it's even more difficult to go across Europe and stuff like that. I mean, just speaking to UEFA, I imagine, to pain in the arse.
Yeah.
They don't seem to know their arse from their elbow, do they, quite honestly, much like FIFA. So something needs to be done about that, because that's not right. I mean, let's just think of it. Half these lads who are going to the Porto games are probably getting the bus there for a euro or €2. You know, we know how much expense it costs to go to a European game. How would they feel if we charge them what is essentially a cop ticket? 50 quid? Yeah? 150 quid for their away ticket.
Yeah.
Now, if Liverpool did that, I'd be fuming that Liverpool did that.
Yeah.
You know, to another set of fans, I think that's ridiculous. And the fact that they've managed to do it to us is an absolute joke. Like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, more on that, if anything, I think moves on from that, but I wouldn't hold your breath. Last bit of news then. Javier Mascherano is leaving Barcelona after 8 years for Hebei China Fortune. Fair play. Fair play to him.
Yeah. It's sad for me when you see players of his quality at whatever age of their stage of their career, going to somewhere like China, because it feels like they are just doing it for the money. You know what I mean? And I wonder whether they've lost that competitive edge that made them great in the first place. You know, I imagine the truly great competitors want to compete until they can't compete anymore.
And, yeah.
It feels like one massive payday. Listen, he's earned it. He's worked harder than anybody on a football field for the last 15 to 20 years. Yeah. You know, he's probably done more running than everybody.
Yeah. Survived half a season at West Ham as well, fair fuck.
Exactly. So, listen, he's had a great career. I'm a little bit gutted that he's not come back to Liverpool.
Yes.
I think that's where it comes back to is... I think there would have been a place for him in our squad. Of someone who's won as much as he'd won.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at it, I thought he was 34 now, but he doesn't turn 34 till the end of the season. I mean, it's one of them, isn't it? He's gone for a last payday before he retires, you'd imagine. I think it was interesting that Barcelona phrased it on the lines of he's only featured in 12 games so far this season.
He's fresh then, isn't he?
Well, yeah.
That's how you spin it, Paul.
He's starting to, you know, he's starting to see his powers waning and his ability on a football pitch. I agree. I'd have loved to have seen it have a season or two of Mascherano just in and amongst the squad.
Yeah, 10 games, playing the League Cup if he's willing to, and teach a few people how to be a winner and show them what type of application you need to show on the training ground and on the pitch to be able to get to where he got to in football.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 4 La Liga titles and 2 Champions Leagues in 8 years. Absolutely. There was a bit, you know, the acrimony in which he left Liverpool. It meant he left under a bit of a cloud. I think he made us feel better by beating Man United in the Champions League final
did.
That season and dedicating it to us. But when you see stuff like that, though, Chris, you know, it is what it is. He's fought and scrapped to make himself not just a good career, a great career. And he was fantastic at football. I genuinely loved having him at Liverpool. Absolutely all the best to him for the future. We've got some really interesting stuff, actually. Just in terms of news, we're going to be recording the Reds transfer news roundup on the redmentv.com tomorrow. That's Thursday. Bit of an in-depth dive into what's going on in Liverpool's transfer scene, a little bit more discussion around. You know, I think people are starting to get a little bit fearful that the Reds might not add to our squad. Looking a little bit more about Klopp's reaction to it. Obviously, we know he did his press conference. It was last week now, but you know, let's see. Will things have moved on from there? You're going to be talking to
Jonathan Northcroft later on today. Yeah. So if you enjoy podcasts, obviously we do all the videos that we do in podcast form and dedicated podcasts as well over on the redmentv.com. So I've got 20 minutes, half an hour lined up with Jonathan to pick his brain about Liverpool's transfer window so far. Really looking forward to that conversation. Spoke to him a few times over the years and he's a really insightful bloke.
Like. Yeah, I love John, he's great. And in addition to that, it's been an ongoing concern for Chris throughout this window so far. So last week he spoke to Chris Bascombe and the week before he spoke to Chris Williams. And obviously if people want to go back through the archives on the redmentv.com and listen to that and get up to date with the ins and outs of Liverpool, not just from us giving you our opinions on things, but from professionals professionals working in the industry with contacts and real knowledge. Then Chris is there to pull them apart and find out what they know. Screen them, grill them for information, anything you can glean.
Will do.
Absolutely. So yeah,
grill them like cheese.
Absolutely. And also just for those watching the video version of this podcast on the website, you're wondering why we've gone a bit sporty today. We've been over in the Anfield area, in the Anfield community, as it were, Chris. With Liverpool ladies
give
midfielder.
Him back. No, okay, we weren't.
No, we weren't. Liverpool ladies midfielder Caroline Weir. So Chris has done an amazing interview with her. That'll be going up later on this week. And we've brought back the Xabi Alonso Challenge, which will be going up on the YouTube channel. Very, very good stuff. See Chris the Cat in goal. okay, Chris, listen. Swansea, it's been tough. We went down to Swansea. I don't want to be one of those. The fact that we travelled down for the game is completely irrelevant. Liverpool don't owe me a performance because I made the travel, because ultimately it was my decision. And you don't go to football matches if you go to football matches needing a win, then you're in football for the wrong reasons. But what got me about the performance against Swansea, and it was something that I'd said in the build-up to it, was that it felt like it could easily have been the game that it was because of the expression, it's typical Liverpool. And what I was hoping that Liverpool would begin, or continue on, I should say continue on the path to putting that expression to bed by getting into the swing of winning games that you're meant to be winning when you've just gone and got a great result against Man City. You don't go and lose against Swansea. And unfortunately, these things continue to rear their ugly head for Liverpool as a football club, as a team, and obviously amongst the fan base.
I don't buy that at all, to be honest with you. The typical Liverpool things, it's bollocks, Paul, to be honest with you. Yes, if you contextualise it as two games of football, beating the top team, beating them on, it wasn't two games of football. It was fucking 19 since we were last beaten.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So why do people contextualise it into 8 days?
Yeah.
When that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at typical Liverpool is going and staying unbeaten for 18 games. That's more typical Liverpool over the last 3 months than losing at Swansea. Yes, we lost at Swansea. I understand that.
Yeah.
But that happens in football. You don't go through a season getting beaten.
Yeah.
Unbeaten. It just doesn't happen very often. You know, Arsenal have done it once, and Liverpool have put together a run there whereby the best Liverpool sides, the ones that went out and won league titles, didn't have as good unbeaten runs as that in a lot of cases. So this is a side that have gone out, and for me, I've bought that little bit of breathing room. You get beaten, it's footy.
Yeah,
it's footy. It's what can happen.
Yeah,
you know what? If we didn't create any chances, I'd be fuming.
Yeah.
And listen, first half, we created fuck all.
Yeah.
There was one, maybe two opportunities. The shots thing, we only had 4 shots on target out of 21. I've seen Liverpool do that over the years. I got really pissed off at Liverpool earlier on in the season for doing it.
Yeah.
And they went out and they proved me wrong because they went on a fucking massive unbeaten run where they started converting loads of these and started snotting your West Hams, your Swansea's, your Bournemouth. So we've snotted teams down the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
That, what we're talking about now, isn't typical Liverpool. That's the aberration at the moment, you know what I mean? That's the outlier that you go, fuck, what can we do about that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not Liverpool this season. We've started to beat us. Yeah, we've struggled against low box sides. Everyone fucking struggles against a low box side.
Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult when you get 11 professionals who buy into one fucking strategy and sit behind the ball.
Yeah.
It's just hard work, you know what I mean? It's very, very difficult to do. So typical Liverpool can fuck off as far as I'm concerned.
But there you go. Couldn't have said it better. No, I agree. And I think the problem is it's an easy out. It's an easy thing to do. And the typical part doesn't necessarily refer to it being something that happens all the time, but the reference is more to the fact that it's still remnant Liverpool lose the games that you go, they're the bankers. That's still the thing that we lose. Now, I'm sure every football club's got this, if I'm perfectly honest. Inevitably, we get a bit, we pull the blinkers down, we're meant to. We're fans of a football club. We're not fans of, you know, you can be a fan of football, but you don't care about other teams. And you know, maybe there's a percentage of people who do watch every game of football and every televised game and great, but there is always a temptation in football. It's like the corners thing. thinking your team is the worst at taking corners. Ask any fan of any football club in the country whether their team is good at taking corners, and the overwhelming majority of them will be like, oh no, we're terrible, we always hit the first man, or we haven't got anyone who can do them, we're terrible at them. And they'll think they're probably terrible at defending them as well. That's the thing about it, what I liked in the... I think there's been a lot of balance off the back of this game, because I think there's been a few people who've kind of, like, you can see them, they want to lose their heads and they want to lose the shit, and we've got a question a little bit later on which we're going to come to about that. But I like the fact that it prompted a lot of people to go, no. That goal, whilst very much is the goal that Liverpool concede, if I had to describe a goal that is the archetypal goal that goes in against Liverpool.
Poor clearance, second ball.
Yeah, someone, a second ball bounces, it gets a mad deflection and it drops to someone who sticks a toe on it and puts it in the back of the net. That is the goal that Liverpool concede more often than not. It's been 13 games since we conceded that goal. We conceded one against Sevilla, and we haven't conceded that goal in that time. And as you mentioned, during that was in the midst of a very, very impressive unbeaten run as well. So, yeah, I think there is a temptation, because I feel like it's been exacerbated this season more than any other, and it's something we talk about on this podcast quite a lot, Chris, is that I think there's a group of fans, and whether it's just a new generation of fan coming up, or maybe it's a middle generation who've supported too long without enough success or whatever. It feels like there's a lot of people who teeter on the brink of despair, and whenever Liverpool, it takes two back-to-back draws or one defeat, and it feels like people seem to think everything's going to come crumbling down around us, and that's the thing that makes me more annoyed being a Liverpool fan almost than the manner in which we drop points sometimes.
Yeah, because we live our lives on social media a lot of the time now. We spend so much time looking at it and delving into it that, you know, you can't help but be... your views change slightly, or affected, sorry, is probably a better word, by the views of other people. I try and stay clear of all that. I try and make my own opinions. That's why I try not to read anything before I start fucking speaking on camera and stuff like that. I try to walk away when I hear you do a match reaction, because I don't want to just repeat what you've said. And if I repeat what you've said, that's fine, but at least I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've got no idea about it. That's why I walk off and stuff like that. But it's mad, because I just don't see it like that. It's just a game of footy, and anything can happen in a game of footy. Like, and, you know, how do you deal with that? Well, I delved into the stats this week, and, you know, done a show on the Redmen again, Stats and Tactics Weekly, where we looked at the expected goals for and the expected goals against of Liverpool. Now, I don't want to give away a large proportion of the show, but I found something in there and I was like, yes, I can fucking hold on to that, because I can see what's happening here. And I'm not looking at it over a one or a two game period. I'm looking at it, I looked back from the start of the season to now, and the findings were fucking fantastic, and it made me feel great about it. Do you know what I mean? And when you delve into something, you find something like that, that you've not only... there's something to be said for finding something yourself, not reading something and taking someone's opinion. I explored and found stuff and was like, brilliant, no one else is going to fucking know that. I'm made up and I can fucking carry that fucking flame forwards now.
Fucking
flame. Fucking fuck. Fuck, fuckity fuck.
Yeah. Fucking fantastic. Yeah, that show will be up probably with slightly less swears in it. If that's not your bag, but yeah, do go and check that out. That'll be on the website this week. This game feels to me very much like an aberration more than anything else, Chris. And the thing that gets it for me, how these people say football balances out, and I'm a laissez-faire kind of guy to some extent. I don't think you can you can celebrate the Burnley win without being philosophical about losing to Swansea to some extent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Then because Liverpool were pretty crap in both those games, the difference was, yeah, we had a moment of magic, which was lacking in the, you know, with Sadio Mane smashing it in with a left-footed one, and we had that little, and we had a chance late on to get something, and we had that chance, albeit it would have only been for a draw in this game. But, you know, I look at it and let's look at the Mohamed Salah chance in the first half. Mm-hmm. The ball gets flicked over to exquisitely by Virgil van Dijk. If he scores that, no one bats an eyelid. We think it's a great goal, and it is a great goal, but you don't. That's not dropped to Joe Gomez in the box. That's dropped to your top goal scorer, second top goal scorer in the league or whatever, if he still is.
That,
and that goes in and you're like, wow, what a goal. We're amazing at football. And maybe the game changes on that. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they still, it's still 1-1, and maybe we still go into the last few minutes desperately searching for the 3 points. And maybe the ball gets flicked in once again by Virgil van Dijk with another spectacular cross, and Bobby Firmino nestles his header in the bottom corner. This time, however, that one doesn't go in, and this time he hits the post, and this time Lallana just not quick enough to turn it in the back of the net. It's... whilst Liverpool, I don't think, did enough, and I don't think we posed enough questions. I don't think we posed, as you kind of alluding to with the XG stuff, I don't think we posed no questions. I think we did enough that if you have on another day, you're definitely coming away with something from that game of football. And but all that happened is the perfect storm, and I don't know how well it comes across on the telly, but you know, we were there. Thought their fans carried them over the line in the last few minutes of that game as well. Their fans absolutely killed us off, you know, in terms of the noise that we were trying to generate to do it and stuff. And you could see the celebrations that their players and their fans, that stadium, everyone in that stadium stayed until the last kick of the game, and it bloody erupted when the final whistle went. And so
Fabianski running over to the fan. They know how important that was. That was a gimme for them. You know, they had no points from that game.
Yeah.
And they went and got three against one of the better sides in the league, and it meant a lot to them because they needed the points, man. Fair play. They were fucking brilliant at what they did.
Yeah, I think it's like the Sam Allardyce thing in the league game. I think you can buy into that. It'd be interesting to see whether they buy into that going forward. But it's telling that I think it's we talked about in the build up show about the way that the fixtures fell was going to fall kindly for one of us or them, because all their rivals for relegation were playing all of our rivals for the top four. Now, as it turns out, the vast majority of their rivals got beat or dropped points, say. So it became an opportunity for Swansea, and I think it all became a little bit of a perfect storm for them to buy into. Is you say to them, look, we know you want to play football. You know that's why you were brought to this club. We know that's what the ethos of Swansea is. But you know what? You're going to get battered because you got battered the other week. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this, and everyone's going to just fight for their lives. No one's going to overcommit to everything. We're going to sit in, and we're going to be a team. We're going to fight. And you know what? If it comes off, even if we only take a point, this is a point that this is going to be a massive point for us. And as it turns out, you know, they get the rubber to green. It's a freak. It's another one of those freaky goals. I don't think Virgil van Dijk should take too much criticism ultimately in it. I think it's one of them. It bounces off a fella and drops to a fella. They've stuck it in an absolutely fair play to Swansea, because that's a massive 3 points. And I think we said this on the Instant Match Reaction podcast this week. At the end of the season, when they've secured their place in next season's Premier League, they will all remember that game. They'll all look back on that, and fair play to
them. That was the catalyst. Mm. That's what we needed to do. We worked together. We worked hard for that victory. And you know what? I they did deserve it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because of how well they played.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's mad. It's a mad 5 minutes, I think, even not even probably not even that spell of the game. But there's it's them having the best spell of passing. In it, the, I remember saying to you, that's like the most Swansea they've been in this entire game. They broke out of the shell for 2 minutes. They played like Swansea. They passed the ball around us like we weren't there. And they put us under pressure. Van Dijk makes a couple of missed kicks and putting them out for corners, and the ball ends up in the back of the net.
Yeah, what are you going to do? He was brilliant apart from that.
Yeah, absolutely. To think, particularly Van Dijk. Van Dijk could have had two world-class assists.
Yeah.
In that game, and I think that's the thing for me. I enjoy this performance. Now, it's unfortunate that it has to be him who's the guy who effectively nods the ball down, and it's him who's the one who miskicks the clearances twice. He looked to me, Chris, like he was when he did both of those, because particularly the second one, he looked like kind of looked at his body almost, looked at his leg. I'm like, okay, that's
not how that normally happens.
Exactly. And it makes me wonder about him and about, because you know how he had this tight hamstring the other week, so he missed a game, didn't he? And it makes you wonder whether we're still seeing a Virgil van Dijk who's being brought up to speed in terms of the training, so tactically and physically.
Yeah.
And then he's being tasked with playing football games. And so, you know, what I'm saying is, I think we're going to see loads better from Van Dijk, and mercifully there was enough within that game as well.
There's tons. Exactly. He made like 8 clearances during the game. You know, he strode out, he played passes, you know, almost had a couple of assists, and you know, I think he won 11 of his 16 duels in tough areas of the field as well. You know, I thought Ayew played really well actually, but there was one time where just before their goal actually, he had to chase Ayew into their half, and he did that brilliantly, and he managed to get back into position. He was leading at corners, he was leading at free kicks, he was speaking all the time, he was telling people where they need to be. That's a future captain right there, mistake or no mistake.
Yeah.
Whatever you think or you don't think, if it was his fault or not, that's a fucking captain right there.
I absolutely agree. I mean, to be fair, I did also say within the first 5 games that Dejan Lovren played for Liverpool that he looked like captain material, so I won't throw my hat in totally on this, but I do agree. I think he looks the part. I think we saw that in the derby.
I also thought that he made Matip look better.
Yeah.
Not only in a defensive sense, but you know, there was times during the games. I'm not saying that Lovren and Matip and Clavin haven't done this throughout the season, Paul, because I think they have. Where you've seen centre back stride forward before, but I could count you 3 or 4 times Matip did it, because he's got that trust in Van Dijk to stay and cover.
Yeah.
And equally, you know, I've saw Van Dijk do it sort of 3-4 times, especially at the end of the games. Probably shouldn't. I'm not going to count. Maybe, you know, there was an understanding between the two of them that if I go, you stay, and you might see that once during a game from our centre backs. Normally, there was a lot of pressure put on those two centre backs to create. And the more that they get used to doing that against these low box sides, the better these guys will get at it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. And I think it gives us more balance as well, because there's always one.
Yeah.
It's like Matip was the
guy
designated.
I'll give the ball to Clavin and we'll be fine because he's not going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Matip is the guy who's normally tasked with it. And you can see they both did those. There was one where, it leads to Matip taking a snapshot that he's probably not, you know, you don't really want him taking per se. But that's... There's two ways, I think, in beating the low block. You need more width. You need to overload on the flanks, but also bringing more men into the equation. If they're sat deep and you can get guys who are good on the ball coming from deep and playing little give and goes and stuff like that, I think, exactly. I think Matip's good at that. We've not been able to see him at his best with it because of maybe, as you say, because of the partnership. But how it's another problem for the opposition teams. Exactly. Because look, again, let's just switch it back to Van Dijk. He could have come away with 2 assists. That there's a lot of people talking about the absence of Felipe Coutinho in that game. Our centre half has just put 2 balls in. I'm going to say, for the sake of argument, on a platter almost for 2 of our 2 top goal scorers.
Yeah, pretty interesting, isn't it?
In his second game, in his third week at the football club.
I think we're on to a winner.
Bonzer. As mentioned, that stat and tactic show from Chris will be up late on Wednesday night, definitely up by Thursday. So if you want that, it is a video show because you need to get involved and see the graphics and the stats of it. But if you're really into the detailed analysis of how things get down with Liverpool and how the games are getting won or in this instance lost, and you need a bit, you know, to as a draw comfort from it and kind of cut through all the chaff that you see that's opinion and bollocks on social media, Chris has absolutely got you covered. So go to the redmentv.com, sign up. It's a free month as well, so if you want to experiment with it, have a little look, check these shows out and all the other extra stuff that we're doing as well, then by all means do, and we'll see you there. Move on then, Chris. Obviously Liverpool are going to move on. What will lead into this from a question, we've got a couple more questions to come later on in the show, but at Vintage Virgil
underscore
no less on Twitter asks, would you rather we get top four or win the FA Cup? Now I would suggest that it's probably a bit fatalistic to say that we can't have both.
I want both.
Yeah,
I want both.
But if you, just for the sake of playing the game in a quick summation, personally, fuck the FA Cup.
Yeah.
This season, I mean, look, here's the thing. Liverpool should not sacrifice that top four is too important to the development of this football club for the short term, definitely, and realistically, forever and ever and ever. It's never not going to be important for us to qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah.
So what I mean is I don't see that ever going to come a situation where you would preface the FA Cup, you're not going to sacrifice the entirety of the next season and maybe the season after that for an FA Cup. But the aim has got to be capable of meeting the ambitions of what a club needs to be able to function at the highest level, and that is the Champions League revenue and the glitter of the Champions League for new players, whilst also bringing silverware.
You're exactly right, and top four is okay this season. Top four's not okay next season. I don't want to be talking about a fight for top four. I want to be talking about a fight for the league title.
Yeah.
And I'd even fast forward that to next season. You know, I don't want top four next season. I want us to be in that race.
Yeah.
You know, I want us to separate ourselves from fifth and sixth. Why should we be fighting between fourth, fifth and sixth every season? Fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easy said.
Of course it is, but equally, if it's this season, if it's top four or FA Cup and you're going to be so fatalistic as to say it's one or the other, well, I'm taking the Champions League and that's my route back in.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm taking the FA Cup, thank you very much, and I'm getting me cake and I'm eating it. So I'm getting back in as the Champions League winners.
Right, I get you. Sam, win the Champions League, finish seventh, yeah. But win the FA Cup as well, just as a little spot. Yeah, absolutely, go ahead. I'll be all in on
cheat
that.
Cheat code.
Yeah, definitely. It is what it is.
It's sad, isn't it? It's sad, but there's too much money in the Champions League.
Yeah.
There's too much money and it's too much. It's too difficult to attract the right type of player when you're not playing in that competition. It is the greatest football competition in the world. Yeah. Players want to play in it. You don't get a spot for winning the FA Cup, therefore it's devalued.
Yeah.
The money thing probably isn't even that big of a deal
just
to players.
Yeah, just in the FA Cup in general, though, I wonder whether this is our last season. See how seasons pan out, but bear with me on this. This might be our last chance at it, and I don't mean that Liverpool can't get to a final or win it in the future, but as you say, I think the ultimate priorities from next season, because look, this is all dependent on how the rest of the season goes. If Liverpool end up more comfortably in the top four, finishing the top four this season, I don't mean squeaking it on the last day. I mean, whether we end up second or third or six or 9 points ahead of the team in fifth, and we get to a quarterfinals or, wow, a semi-finals of the Champions League. Let's dream. Next season, you're right, there should be an expectation that Liverpool take the title race down to at least the last handful of games, if not go on and win the thing. I'm not saying if you then miss out on the title, it's throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, sack the manager kind of stuff. Yeah. But the point is, that should be an ambition. And if you're capable of getting into the quarters, semi-finals of a Champions League, I'm not saying you have to go and win the Champions League, but you definitely need to make sure you at least get that.
Well, you're preferencing that over the FA Cup. I mean,
exactly.
What sides, how many times has the treble been done over the years? It's difficult, isn't it? You know, it's difficult enough to win the Premier League. It's difficult enough to win the Champions League. Never mind do the double.
I mean, exactly. We've just come out. I think anyway, we're starting to come out of this little mini era we've had where the Premier League teams haven't been able to compete on. It's not possible to win the Premier League and the Champions League double in recent years, certainly. And English teams have struggled in the Champions League. I think we're starting to come out of that, hopefully, a little bit more, and we'll see teams be competitive on the European scene a bit more out of that. But that's the problem. You're right. It's basically the league is too competitive.
Yeah.
That's the problem, and this is what the top four thing boils down to as well, is that you just can't afford to take your eyes off the prize, and it's sad because we've been laughing at Arsenal about it, you know, albeit with a side of jealousy to that, because, you know, he doesn't want to be playing in the Champions League every season. You've got to hope that we do have harbour ambitions above finishing fourth, first and foremost, but you can't fuck out, you know. If Arsenal are capable, look, Man United have had to spend big. Man United spent a couple of years out of it. They had to spend massive. They had to spend massive wages on a manager. They had to go and spend ridiculous money and wages to get top quality players in to try and jumpstart the club to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal, if they don't win the Europa League this season and don't get back in the top four, they're going to have to go and do exactly the same thing this summer. And that's exactly what Liverpool. I don't think Liverpool can afford another slip back into the wilderness, because I don't know where that leaves us. I don't know where that leaves the owners. I don't know where it leaves the manager.
Now's the time to capitalise. It's not very often, is it, where these cycles of change happen with the top four, top six, or whatever it is. You know, how often the teams actually drop out. It took Tottenham a long time to really break it, and it doesn't look like they're going to drop out anytime soon, although obviously we're performing better than them this season. Arsenal's the one where you're looking at and you think they might drop out, and we've got to capitalise long-term, not just this season or last season. Long-term, we've got to make sure that they're what Liverpool have been for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
The ones who aren't in it,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's about climbing your way up that ladder, isn't it? And making sure that you're trying to reach for the top of the table.
Yeah. And with regards to the FA Cup this season, look, ultimately, we've got to get past West Brom, Chris. Yeah. And this is a team that frustrated the life out of us, you know, the back end of last year. Really, really tough game. Having come off the back of the Swansea one as well, I think it was reasonable to expect Swansea might have actually played a little bit of football in that game. You know, West Brom are not going to try that. There's no shadow of a doubt. There is no doubt in the manager's or the player's mind. This is going to be a game where West Brom effectively say, here you go, here's 90 minutes. Go and try and beat us in that. And that's, in some regards, probably not the best thing to follow on from that result. But equally, we all felt Swansea was going to be a great, was the perfect team to play in that regard. It is what it is. It's at Anfield. We're great at Anfield. It is just down to the players that he picks to go and do everything in their power to get this one done and get their name in the hat.
Yeah, I think what Liverpool need to do in this game is start a lot faster than they did against Swansea. I think that changes the entire complexion of the fixture, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I love the cup atmosphere at Anfield as well.
Mm. It helps having so many away fans, I think, in the ground. Always gives it a little bit more.
And it's just
spice.
Different people as well. You know, it's not the season ticket holders in every single one of their seats. You know, not a lot of people do go for the
Auto Cup
scheme and stuff. You just see a lot more families who are just buzzing to be there, and you can get some real good atmospheres. I love the cup games at Anfield.
Yeah, absolutely. It is massive, and it's the thing.
Go to the one be going actually.
Yeah, unlucky. We say that. You know, we'll see how the game. We'll see how the game goes. It'd be typical Liverpool, Chris, for us to
Don't
end up in a fucking replay. No, it is what it is. I hope because of the frustration of that result last time, I think there will be a little bit of a point to prove from the players, from the management to go out there. And again, I think exacerbated by the Swansea result, that was our best team. You could argue maybe Lallana in for Oxlade-Chamberlain, maybe Henderson in for Chan, but by and large, that was the best. That was certainly the best 11 Liverpool could have put out against Swansea. So there was no excuses in that regard. And I wonder where. And I would be saying that, and I think that will be a motivation, whether Klopp has to say it or whether the players will feel it themselves. I think both going into this game is like, if you want silverware, if you want to have medals that you can show your kids and your grandkids. Well, listen, lads, I can't go out there and stick the ball in the back of the net for you. I can tell you the best ways to go about doing it. It's on you to make sure you fight. It's on you to make sure you make the right decisions. It's on you to go and live up to the expectations of the still, 45,000 Liverpool fans who are going to be in there, who are desperate for it, we're gagging for it. absolutely gagging for a for a pot at the end of the season. So yeah,
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain needs to be getting into the dressing room going, look, I'm not being funny, I've got three of these with that Arsenal team. You know what I mean? We can sort this out, lads.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. We will be having the usual raft of build-up content, starting 11 prediction and the Uncensored Match build-up show, which is in the form of video and podcast as well. So all that stuff, as ever, video content and audio content available for you at the home of the Red Men TV, theredmentv.com. Question that I kind of alluded to earlier, Chris, comes from Quinton Jansen. It says, last we had a bad run this period as well. Is this becoming a norm? Was there sufficient changes / players brought it upon to break the cycle? Reading the between the lines on that one, this is the fateless thinking running absolute riot here.
It's not a
we're
bad
not
run.
In a bad run. We've lost one game of football. We lost one game of football. We've just beaten. We didn't beat anyone in January last year. We didn't meet anyone in January. We lost the games and we drew games and it was terrible. Yeah, I don't think we took us how long to take us to score a goal. It was terrible. It was terrible, terrible, terrible.
1 million minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. That. Spot on current reference. I like it. Bang up to date. Assuage Quaiton's thinking here that it's going to be okay, mate. I hope. Listen, this is the thing. We don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. Football's hasn't happened yet. It's possible. It is within the realms of possibility that Liverpool could struggle to West Brom, and then all of a sudden it is a little bit of an issue. What you've got to do, Chris, in these situations is take a deep breath. Think some happy thoughts and remember that this Liverpool side is great. They've got some great players and the manager and everything around. Look, last week's podcast was like titled Things Are Looking Up, and I still genuinely feel that way. How about you?
Yeah, of course. How can you not? I just don't understand that you go on the type of run that we went through and you're like, it's brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. You know, we didn't have to speak about getting beaten for ages. That's the longest period while we've been doing this, and we've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's the longest sustained period with the season on where we've not talked about a Liverpool defeat.
Yep.
And it's been absolutely magic coming in and talking about footy. And the worst part of what we do, and I love what we do, but the worst part is coming in or coming back to the studio after the defeat.
Yep.
You know, and our life was fucking magic for 3 months or something, because that's how long it was. And listen, Liverpool are moving forwards. They're moving in the right way. Of course, they've got the right manager in charge. Yeah, we've got some issues around. Have we got enough players in the squad to go and truly achieve what I think we can achieve this season?
Yeah.
And that is comfortably making top four. And it's making a big tilt at the Champions League. No, we are better, whether you think the Tottenham game where we got beaten or the Man City game where we got beaten are outliers or not, we are better when teams come at us.
Yeah.
And the Champions League is going to be a little bit like that.
Yeah.
And we're perfectly set up to go and do something in the Champions League, and we've got the players to go and do it, crucially, as well.
Yeah.
This side is better than 2005 sides, and we've got a manager who's just as good in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. Just following up for that, on the Facebook, we had to put the question out as well. What is a post out? There you go. Mm-hmm. On Facebook. Pierce Richmond said, how about a topic on mass hysteria on social media and what kind of effect it can have on the players, the crowd, etc. Swansea game was dreadful, but the fume that seems to have been waiting in the wings for such results is mental. Yeah, I think it's worth pointing out that, said this before, and we'll say it again, doubtless, social media is not a fair representation of how Liverpool fans really think about stuff. That's not to say that there aren't genuine Liverpool fans who feel that way and are out there spreading their opinion on stuff, but inevitably, particularly in the... Let's look at Arsenal Fan TV as an example of it, and look at the guys who go out there. They walk straight out the ground, they've been riled up, and then again they're surrounded often by a crowd of people who are riled up and angry as well, and it all filters out and it all bubbles over the top and you speak without having had time to calm down and really think about it. The problem with social media is that as well, is the people are doing that. And then unfortunately, what doesn't get retweets is the person who's gone, actually, I've watched it back and it was fine. You know what I mean? No one's retweeting that shit. People are retweeting, fuck the manager, fuck the subs, fuck the this and that. No one's retweeting the calm, sensible view on stuff. So I think it always feels a lot worse than it is. And ultimately as well, there's a lot of people out there, Chris, who they're not sure how to behave around football to some extent. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. And again, this is not this might be perceived as a dig about fans outside Liverpool, but it's not. It's more a dig of people and how football is consumed. But if I sat down, if I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch a film, and that film was shit, I'd be dead pissed off. But I'm sat on and the process is the same. I get up, I open my laptop up, and I sit there, and maybe I even have a bevy. And I'm half bevied and I've watched the shit film. I'm angry with myself. I'm angry with the director. I'm angry with the actors. I'm angry with the company that funded that piece of shit. I'm probably angry with me fucking laptop, you know, manufacturer. And this is that thing, isn't it? I think, and unfortunately, social media is the outlet for the people who have that aggression. So yeah, like I say, it's definitely an issue. It's an exacerbated issue more so, I feel, than ever this season, but try your best not to worry about it. And that's what we're here for, to help give you a little bit of pause, a little bit of reflection, and now even more so than ever, loads more detailed analysis, so you can understand and get a greater understanding of if things are going wrong, how they're going wrong, and when things are going great, which they have been so much more than they haven't been this season. That's what we're here for on the RedmenTV.com, so please do, everyone, get involved. Last quick question there, Chris. Triple BSS, who's at Frisky Firmino. What do you watch more, television or YouTube?
Television still. Yeah. Although it's not like TV channels, it's like
TV programs. Yeah, I think that's the thing for me. I consume more content. I'm actually saying that when I think about it, it's tough. If I've got on my lunch, I don't put a TV program on. I put something on YouTube on. But if I'm at home, I don't watch stuff on YouTube particularly. But I will watch Netflix, or I'll watch Now TV or something like that, like, you know, watch a movie. But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I'd be interested to know people are watching. What do you consume more of, and how do you consume it? I'm always interested to know, because I think it's a quite interesting thing. And obviously, we've seen the rise of social media, we've seen the rise of fan channels and the likes of what we're doing. So yeah, fascinating stuff. Thank you very much, everyone, for the questions this week. Very, very good. Very, very good indeed. Hopefully the mighty Reds can get us all smiling again with a place booked in the fifth round of the FA Cup after snot and dancing Pardew and a stupid face everywhere. Thank you for listening. If you are a subscriber and you're watching the video version, thank you very much. If you want more great content, I can't stress this enough, theredmentv.com. Start your free month. Have a look. There's never been a better time. The content is amazing.
He's right, you know. Absolutely. And I don't even like him.
Yeah, absolutely. Twat. But yeah, more of this stuff. And yeah, as I say, it makes it all possible. If you like the free stuff and you want more of that stuff, it's there for you. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you do choose to be a RedmenTV.com subscriber. Thank you. Fuck you, Chris Pajak. And walk on. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.